All right, thank you, Steve. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today for two informals. The first one will be case number PU11561. I'm joined by my colleagues, Commissioners Kramer and Commissioner Fetch, and we'll go around the table eventually and get everybody's names. But what I wanted to do is set this up a little bit, is we have two informals today. Like I said, the first one, case number PU11561, dealing with the Oliver Wind, and Jerry Leon has two sign-in sheets that he'll be passing around. I know we have folks from the audience today. If you just sign in to whichever case you're concerned about, and if you're ever going to be offering comments today, just to kind of get a feel for how this all lays out. And the setup is informal. We, in the commission, we have work sessions, we have informals, and we have formal hearings. This is an informal based on the commission approved and issued an order back in March 12th of 2012 on a wind farm. Subsequently, the company has filed an application to amend their certificate with changes in turbines. So an informal is going to take place today, but folks that request would like to file comments or request an official hearing need to be received by November 6th of 2012. So the way this works, informals typically we'll start out with, you know, the company will make their any questions to your case. Staff will chime in any thoughts that they have. And then in, a lot of time in informals, there'll be no one here other than us, the company or the staff. We have folks in the audience today, I suspect, that may want to talk about this case, so they will certainly have an opportunity. The question that we'll need to get into is, depending on how the discussion goes, that may drive us to a formal hearing, it may not, but just wanted to set the stage for those that are listening in the audience and here that this is an informal setup that way, but depending on how the discussion goes, that could change the scope of today's meeting. So with that, I would turn it over to Commissioner Kramer if he has any comments.
Yes, good afternoon. Look forward to getting after it.
Commissioner Fetch?
Likewise, thank you.
Okay. With that, Brian, I assume you'd like to start out.
Yep, thank you, Commissioners. My name is Brian Biella with Crowley Fleck Law Firm here in Bismarck, representing Oliver Wind 3 LLC, and with me is Scott Scoville. He's with NextEra Energy Resources. He'll be providing some testimony today. And we're hoping that Anne-Marie Greiger is on the phone. She's our environmental person. Are you there, Anne-Marie?
Yes, hello.
Okay. Great.
It's always a comforting voice on my team calls.
I forgot, Brian, before we start, could we just go around the room and take appearances? Who's at the table?
Okay.
Good, if you want to start.
Yep, Brian Biella representing Oliver Wind 3 LLC. With me, Scott Scoville with NextEra Energy Resources.
And Mark Grimmond, legal counsel, North Dakota Public Service Commission. To my left is Jerry Leen, one of our engineers here for the Public Service Commission.
Okay. And for folks in the audience, if when the time comes, if you just identify yourself when you step forward to the mic. So thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Proceed.
Please.
We've got this set up kind of like we question in a formal hearing, just so you can understand who the people are. So we'll just we'll be brief. Start with Scott Scoville. Scott, please state your name and business address.
My name is Scott Scoville. I'm the Director of Wind Development for NextEra Energy Resources. My business address is 700 Universe Boulevard, Juno Beach, Florida.
And Scott, what is your position with Oliver Wind 3?
I'm the project manager for the Oliver Wind 3 project.
Now, Scott, on March 21, 2012, Oliver 3 received a certificate of site compatibility number 27, and this certificate approved the Oliver 3 wind energy center consisting of up to 30 1.6 megawatt wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Morton County. Subsequently, on September 19th, 2012, Oliver Wind 3 filed an application for amendment of that certificate of site compatibility. So would you please describe the reasons for the this application for amendment of the site certificate?
Originally, Oliver Wind 3 proposed to construct the project using 48 megawatts, using 31.6 megawatt turbines and the associated facilities. Now we desire, Oliver 3 Wind desires to use a different wind turbine technology for the project. The two types of wind turbines are being considered. Both of these turbines are more efficient and have a larger rotor diameter than what we originally cited, which requires a slight adjustment in the spacing of the turbines to meet the manufacturer's specifications and the Morton County setbacks.
And Scott, what turbine options are you considering?
The two options we are considering is a GE 1.6 megawatt turbine with a larger rotor diameter, which goes from 80 to 100 meters or 271 to 328 feet. And the second option we're considering is a GE 1.7 megawatt turbine, also with a 100-meter rotor diameter or 328 feet.
Now, as a result of these this change in turbine technology, have the setback requirements changed?
Yes, the setback requirements have changed based on the turbine height, as at 1.5 times the rotor diameter changed from 406 to 492 feet, and the 1.2 times turbine height changed from 496 to 533 feet.
Mr. Biala, would you mind if inappropriate to offer all of this into the record?
Sure.
Make sure we don't forget that.
Okay. Scott, showing you what is we're calling Exhibit 1. Is this a map depicting the changes in the turbine array?
Yes.
And this has previously been filed with the commission. We would offer Exhibit Number 1.
Thank you. As well as all the other testimony today?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll receive it.
And then Scott, showing you what we identified as Exhibit Number 2. Is this a chart which depicts the distances certain turbines have been moved due to new turbine technology and the change in distance to the nearest receptor?
Yes.
And do these changes in turbine locations still comply with the PSC and Morton County setback standards and requirements?
Yes, they do. Yes.
And Commissioner, we have a follow-up witness, environmental, who will get in a little bit more into the distances moved and how that affects the environmental data. So, Scott, is Oliver 3 requesting an amendment to Site Certificate Number 27 in order to accommodate the minor changes in certain turbine locations needed to utilize the new turbine technology?
Yes.
We would offer also Exhibit 2.
Okay, received.
And at this point, we have no further questions for Mr. Scovel.
Thank you. I had a couple for Mr. Scovel, and then we'll see what my colleagues have. You said that you're still looking at whether it's to be 1.6 megawatt or 1.7 megawatt. It seems to me that needs to be a decision you make pretty quick if you're going in for an amendment here. You should know which one you're going to pick, unless all the data is the same for both turbines.
The market, the manufacturers and the technology is moving so quickly. I don't know what's going to be available next year. We've went from a 1.5 to a 1.6 to a 1.7. The technology is changing. It's changing as we are submitting the application.
Well, but how can we make a decision if we still don't know what? I mean, you gave us a set of setbacks, so those setbacks are the same no matter what turbine.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's a better question.
I'm sorry. All right. When we originally cited this project, we had the GE 1.6. XLE turbine on an 80-meter tower with 82.5-meter rotor diameter on the turbine. Since that time, there's been a huge leap in the technology associated with the 1.6 turbine. We are now going from an 82 to 100-meter rotor diameter. There's been some advances in the blade technology allowing that size of blade to be used in wind regimes such as, you know, they've been determined site suitable for here in North Dakota. And as a result of going to the larger wind blades, our setbacks are, we've actually had to slightly adjust, as you'll see, the dots. And it's been slight adjustments in our array to accommodate the wider rotor diameter blades.
Sure, but I guess my question more specifically, that whether it's 1.6 or 1.7, the information you've submitted does not change?
Does not.
Okay, for your part of it.
For the distances and the setbacks. Whether we use a 1.6 or a 1.7, it's the same spot.
Okay, thank you. That was the only question that I had.
Okay.
I think Jerry, you might remember this. I think in previous cases, in fact, fairly recently, maybe even in one of the Bison projects, we sort of cited I hate to call it a worst case scenario, but the most extreme case scenario, so that all scenarios less than that would be covered. And it seemed like maybe that's sort of what we're looking at here. Am I recollecting that properly?
Yes, Commissioner, you are. That was the latest Bison case from Elite Clean Energy. And in that case, they did a turbine layout based on the biggest rotor diameter they could think of. In this case, they increased the rotor diameter beyond what it was permitted for, so you need to move the turbines a little further apart, and then you need to have some of them anyway. And you need to have your setbacks just a little bit further back.
So if we set it for the largest, if it ends up being the second largest, you're still good.
Still good.
Okay, that's kind of it.
All right, Commissioner Fetch.
That was going to be my question. Thank you.
Can you walk me through again, and I think Mr. Beale said it, the number of turbines you started with and how many you're going to end up with, so the actual reduction in turbines that you'll have on this?
We started with...
So what was approved in our initial order to what you're asking for now?
Approved 30. Oh.
I want to make sure they say that.
The certificate says up to 30, 1.6 megawatts.
And your amended today, you're going to be asking for? Yeah, Jerry, we put it.
Anne-Marie, can you answer what are we ending up with?
Also 30. It's 30 planned turbines. The current layout has 30 planned turbines and three alternate locations.
Does that match what you had, Jerry, in your memo? Okay. All right, thank you. Anything else?
No.
All right. Continue on, I guess.
Anne-Marie, you're up.
Good afternoon. My name is Anne-Marie Grigger. I am employed by Tetra Tech, Inc. in Austin, Texas.
And Anne-Marie, what is your position with Tetra Tech?
I'm a project manager at Tetra Tech. I have 9 years' experience in environmental planning. I have prepared and secured environmental permits for energy-related facilities, coordinated and managed biological and cultural field surveys, and contributed to the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, documentation. I also manage siting studies, prepare environmental permits, and consult with local, state, and federal stakeholders in the development of wind energy projects.
And Anne-Marie, is the purpose of your testimony today to describe any environmental impacts associated with the change in turbine technology?
Yes, it is.
And what distances were certain of the turbines moved?
Comparing the new turbine layout to what was approved by the Public Service Commission, 6 of the 34 originally proposed turbine locations did not move, and one turbine was completely eliminated. The other turbine moves were between 6 and 450 feet. While one turbine moved 244 feet closer to the nearest receptor, all other turbines moved farther away or moved less than 100 feet from the closest receptor, as shown in Exhibit 2.
And Oliver 3 filed with the Public Service Commission revised tables with respect to exclusion and avoidance areas. Would you please just describe any changes in that data?
Yes. We use the same impact assumptions to calculate the estimated acreage of impacts from each project feature. And compared to the permitted layout, the new layout has slightly more impacts from the access roads because they'll be slightly longer from approximately 67 acres to 78 acres, bringing the total estimated impact to almost 176 acres compared to the previous 175 acres. And that's just one additional acre of total impact because there would be fewer impacts from collection lines. Now, looking at exclusion areas, there would be one fewer turbine located in native prairie. In the permitted layout, 15 turbines would be sited in native prairie, whereas now there are only 14 sited in native prairie. We also surveyed all previously unsurveyed areas for archaeology and wetlands in September of 2012, and all documented sites will be avoided. With regard to prime farmland, there will be slightly fewer impacts to prime farmland soils, from 5.4 acres reduced down to 5.2 acres, and a little bit of an increase in farmland of statewide importance that would be disturbed from 22 acres to 27 acres. There would be no changes to the avoidance areas. And with regard to selection criteria, there are three categories that are impacted: the agricultural production and plant life. As I mentioned previously, the total impacts would be almost the same, just an increase in 1 acre from 175 to 176. But then there would just be one fewer turbine sited in native prairie. The other criteria is the noise-sensitive land uses, which we will discuss next. And policy criteria, there would be no changes.
Okay. And that data is all detailed much more extensively in a filing that was submitted on Monday. Now, Anne-Marie, has the revised turbine layout been accepted by the SHPO?
The previously unsurveyed areas were surveyed for cultural resources in September 2012, and the report addendum is currently underway. So we will be providing the report to the SHPO when it is complete, and a summary will be provided to the PSC. We will also file the SHPO concurrence with the PSC upon receipt.
And Anne-Marie, have revised acoustic and shadow flicker assessments been completed?
Yes, both studies were revised using the latest turbine layout dated September 13, 2012, which consists of 30 proposed and 3 alternate GE 1.6 megawatt turbines with a rotor diameter of 328 feet or 100 meters and an effective hub height of 262.5 feet or 80 meters above grade.
And what were the results of those revised acoustic and shadow flicker assessments?
18 of the receptor locations evaluated would have no shadow flicker impacts. 11 of the receptor locations evaluated would have less than 20 hours per year of predicted shadow flicker impact. Only one of the 31 receptors modeled had expected shadow flicker impacts predicted for more than 30 hours per year at 32 hours and 12 minutes per year, which is approximately 0.7% of the potential available daylight hours. This receptor is an occupied residence of a participating landowner. With regard to the acoustic assessment, project operational sound was calculated and compared to relevant environmental noise guidelines as established by the EPA and OSHA. The acoustic modeling analysis only indicated one potential exceedance of the EPA noise guideline at maximum rotational speed under anomalous meteorological conditions. This exceedance would occur at one receptor, which has been identified as an abandoned structure and a project participant. There are no exceedances at occupied receptors.
And that analysis was based on the 1.6 proposed technology. What would change if the 1.7 technology was utilized?
If NextEra chooses to use the 1.7 megawatt turbines, no turbine moves would be required, so we do not expect any additional impacts relating to the exclusion or avoidance areas. However, and additionally, we do not expect any additional shadow flicker impacts because the if the turbine locations, hub height, and rotor diameter are the same, the shadow flicker analysis will not change. However, with regard to the acoustic analysis, we would rerun the analysis if the decision were made to use the 1.7 megawatt turbine and submit the results to the PSC.
So that was something that would have to be a follow-up if that technology was chosen. Is that correct?
Correct.
And Anne-Marie, in your opinion, if the Oliver Wind 3 project is constructed as set forth in the application for an amended certificate of site compatibility along with these other materials filed with the PSC, would there be any significant long-term irreversible effects to the environment or cultural resources?
No, there were not.
This would conclude our testimony of Ms. Grieger.
All right, thank you. Anne-Marie, thank you for your testimony. This is Commissioner Call. Just a couple questions. What's the number you used? You talk about the EPA rating for decibels. What's the number you're referring to? Is it 45? Is it 50? I don't recall that number off the top of my head.
Hi, Commissioner. The number we use is 48.6 dBA.
And that's just a recommended level. That's not law, if you will, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then what did the distance for the closest turbine to residents end up being? I know you talked about turbine 14, a change of 244 feet closer. What does that distance end up to be now?
For that particular turbine?
For that particular turbine, yes.
Just one moment. I had the distances for you for the closest non-participating receptor, but that one is a participating one. So let me see. It would be 4,611 feet.
That sounds high. 4,000 feet, we typically... I mean, I'm not saying that's not accurate, but I don't recall. 4,000 feet, that's a mile. Not quite, but...
That's not the closest receptor. The closest non-participating receptor is closest to turbine number 20 is at a distance of 1,637 feet. But the one we were referring to was just the one that moved the most.
Okay.
So it's not the closest. It's just the turbine that moved the furthest from the original location.
All right. Thank you. You answered the question perfectly. That was all that I had, Mr. Kramer.
Well, I think that answers it. You've clearly gone to great lengths to keep the original record as much intact as possible, I assume, for obvious reasons.
Commissioner Fetch?
The only question I had, I guess I'd like a little clarification. You stated that if the choice were made for the 1.7 turbine, you would have to rerun acoustic tests, but does that mean you would not have to if you make the choice for the other one, 1.6?
That's correct, Commissioner. We ran our study based on the 1.6 megawatt turbine with the 100 meter rotor diameter that Scott discussed. The 1.7 megawatt turbine is very new technology, and we do not have the specifications available yet to run that model for the acoustic assessment.
What happens if you build that one and then you run the acoustic assessment and it's beyond acceptable limit?
I think they would have, before they could build it, I think they would have to come back for a second amendment.
Our thought, Commissioner, was maybe the order could be conditioned that if the 1.7 was chosen, we would have to file that data and then seek approval for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Continue upon a successful acoustic studies.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I had one question I just thought of. Anne-Marie, tell me again the SHPO concurrence. Are you anticipating any delays in that, or why isn't in that? I mean, there's already been a little delay, if you will. What is there something big that's holding that up, or is it just getting it in the workflow with all the things they have going on?
No, sir, we don't expect a delay. It's just that We received the final layout in August, and we did the surveys. We completed the field surveys just last month in September, so we're still putting together the report. And as soon, and I anticipate the report to be complete in the next few weeks here in early November, so we would submit that to the SHPO as soon as the report is complete.
Okay, I misunderstood that. So SHPO hasn't even received it yet then. It's not like it's out there right now. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Going once, going twice. Anything else from the company?
No, commissioners.
All right. Staff has a recommendation and some thoughts, I believe, Mr. Liam and Mr. Grumman.
Are we still waiting for the full acoustic study that was run and the shadow flicker studies, the actual printouts from them?
Yes, sir. We just completed the results so that I could have those results to report to you today, but we are still completing the graphics associated with those reports, so we will complete those in the next couple of weeks and submit those to you.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had at this point.
Okay, Mr. Grumman? Jerry, do you want to go through your memo of anything particular, or do you think we've covered all the...
I think it was covered. I just tried to summarize a little bit for you to read from the filings and where we were at with it. We haven't identified any troubles or any problems with it, but I say we are still waiting for SHPO to sign off and for them to finish those couple of reports and file them. And other than that, at this point, I'm not seeing any problems.
Okay, thank you. Kevin, do you have any questions?
I don't.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to note that the memo provided by Mr. Lean, if we are going to consider it, this should become part of the record.
Jerry, would you offer this as part of the record?
When I wrote it, my intent was that it would go into the record. It doesn't need to, but because there's nothing new. But
well, then I'd like to make a request that we make it part of the record.
Okay. Mr. Kuhn?
I offer Exhibit 3, then.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I received. That's one thing. This is an informal. I'm not a judge here, so but we're doing all the things we need to do. Okay. Anything else from? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Anything else from the folks at the table here?
Nothing from the company.
Thank
commissioners.
You.
Okay. With that, let's see here. All right. We have several members of the public here today that have signed into a sign-in sheet with their addresses. According to the sign-in sheet, none of them are going to testify today. But I would still offer it up if there are any members of the public that have anything to say about this project and the setting. It's like I said, it's not a, you're not be sworn in or anything. Just if there's any comments you'd have, I'd offer that up now. Okay, one more time. All right. Seeing no comments from anyone else, is there anything else that my colleagues would?
You know, I guess just the reminder. I guess maybe doesn't need to be stated, but the public does have until November 6th.
Oh, thank you.
To comment.
Correct.
Good point of clarification. So,
or to request.
If you prefer to put it in writing, you have until November 6th.
All right. With that, we'll close the informal on case number PU11561. Need to see if we need to stop the tape before we start the next one here.
First, you can't say them. Put it all out. These are company.
Oh.